This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hi, welcome to Perspectives with Sherry. I'm your host, Sherry, over here. This is a safe space for women in midlife. Today, we are kicking off our series in menopause, and we are so happy to have a special guest with us today. We have with us Lynn Setterloff-Aristo. She is a certified menopause fitness coach and the host of 40 Plus Fitness for Women podcast. Lynn is helping women in perimenopause and menopause regain control of their fitness and health through strength training. And she's lived through the challenges of menopause. And so she's used to or understands the losing muscle tone, gaining weight, and feeling frustrated. And so she's turning it around, and now she's here to help us do the same thing. Lynn, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes. You know, one of the things when I was gearing up to do this series, I had polled some of the viewers and friends of mine just to get an idea. And one of the things that was top of the list is, you know, what I'm doing, trying to get control of this weight is not working. And so I thought, okay, well, let's address that. And so I was so honored when you were able to come on and talk about that with us. So yeah, we're going to get right into it.
Great.
So, all right. So my first question for you, Lynn, is why is weight training particularly important in women over 40?
Yeah. So one of the things that happens to us as we age, people, and then also as women, is that we start to lose our muscle mass. And that's important. That's a bad thing in many different respects. The first being that, you know, we're going to get weaker. You know, the less muscle you have, the weaker you're going to get. And then it screws with like our base metabolism. So our metabolic rate actually goes down as we start having less muscle. And since most of us don't just like lose weight as we age, it's getting replaced by something, which is fat. And so that's not a good thing. And and then we're losing our strength, you know, so that we can survive later on. So there's the muscle piece. And then there's also a lot of benefits of actually strength training. I don't know which, whether you want me to address one or the other. So I'll let you
lead. We're going to get into that. And we talked about how it does affect our various physical changes. And so what are the most common fitness related challenges women face during the transition? You talked about the muscle loss.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that I think, and I mean, I have to say, I went through menopause completely in the dark. I mean, I knew I was in menopause. I had been told I was in menopause. I knew something like, oh, you know, you have hot flashes, and I experienced them, but I had no idea what was going on in my body. And of course, your reproductive system is shutting down during perimenopause. And then, you know, in postmenopause, it is shut down. And that happens because your estrogen and your progesterone levels drop. And actually it's estrogen, which is really critical. And that like walks out the door when you hit menopause. And the thing about estrogen is that it is doing so many amazing things for our bodies. It is responsible for helping us to build muscle and to maintain muscle, to maintain our bone density. It keeps our tendons and our ligaments, you know, nice and flexible, you know, so that they work, keeps our joints feeling good. It's responsible also for where on our bodies fat is stored, and also like just our joints and everything feeling good. So when it walks out the door, it's like it really is kind of a crisis for our bodies. And I think that's something that's not talked about enough, that, hey, this is like a major change that happens to us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we need to do something about it. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. They don't tell us that. and then we're just like, ugh. So what are some of the biggest misconceptions that women over 40 have about staying fit?
Yeah. So I think what ends up happening is that, you know, when estrogen walks out the door, then what you end up noticing is the things that so many women complain about. And this can happen, you know, in perimenopause already, or it might happen a little bit later. For me, like I noticed it actually postmenopause. I went through I'm 53 right now, and I hit menopause in my mid 40s. And it wasn't until I was like 49 that I was like, hold on a second. You know, I was looking at pictures of myself in a bikini or watching. It actually was one day I was like brushing my teeth, you know, in front of the mirror, like, well, you know, you brush your teeth in front of the mirror. And in that moment, like, you know how you sometimes kind of see yourself and you see yourself from the outside, you know, like maybe you catch your reflection as you're walking down the street and you catch your reflection in a window or whatever. And in that moment, like I caught myself, a reflection of myself, and I saw that, oh my God, like where have all my muscles gone? Yes. You know? And that's like something that women, you know, see. They're like, oh my God, my muscles are gone. Oh my God, I'm like, everything feels tight. I'm gaining weight and things aren't really working. And one of the very natural responses is, okay, I got to eat less and I got to exercise more. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that is actually not the solution, because there are things that go on in your body when you go through menopause, that exercising more is just going to be more of a stressor on your body, and eating less, again, a stressor. So you just need to learn to work in new ways with your body. And I should actually mention what I forgot to mention earlier is that one of the other things that estrogen is doing in our bodies, which is really important, is it's helping us to cope with stress. And that is, you know, if you think about like our ability to deal with stress, we've got work, happy stress and you know, sad stress, of course, work stress, family, exercise is a stress, dieting is a stress, not sleeping is a stress. And if your ability to cope with all that goes down, then it becomes even more important for you to be able to manage your stress and make sure you're not putting too many things like into that stress bucket. So that's a whole topic on its own for midlife. But yeah. So when you sort of go and do more exercise and eat even less on this menopausal body, which is not able to handle as much stress, it can really backfire on you. Hmm. I had one woman who contacted me and she was like, yeah, this is exactly what happened to her. She had always been, you know, fit and watched what she ate and looked good and whatever. And then all of a sudden noticed these changes, doubled down on her diet and her exercise. And she ended up in the hospital because her body just went haywire. So like, that's kind of the worst case scenario but yeah, a little bit of a cautionary tale.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, because myself, I'm 51 and I actually started going through menopause early. Also, I was around 43. Mm-hmm. And for me in the past, generally, I would do a lot of cardio. I would hop on my elliptical and, you know, maybe do some of that. And usually that with kind of watching my carbs would keep me within what I was comfortable with weight wise. And I would.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts, but not just any gifts, real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Go back to it, and it seemed like nothing was working. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, all of what you're saying is like totally resonating with me. That's why I believe this is so important, because we do get so frustrated. And then agreed, you know, instead of educating ourselves, we either go harder, try to eat less, and then just mess ourselves up even more. So this is amazing information.
And it actually, just to one more thing to add there, is that you do end up messing yourself up even more, in the sense that when we diet, and this is something that's not talked about a lot, maybe it's starting to be talked about a little bit more now that there's like the Ozempic, you know, revolution going on. But when you are in a calorie deficit, your body, you know, what that means is that you're not feeding your body as much calories as it needs to manage in day-to-day life. And unlike a car, where if you don't give it enough gas, it'll just like stop at the side of the road, your body is going to start taking off of your body to get that extra energy. And it has some choices. It can take fat off your body, but it can also take muscle. Yeah. And if you're not weight training when you're dieting, actually like 25 to 50% of the weight that you lose, like the scale weight, will come from muscle. Wow. And what that means is that then, you know, your body composition is getting worse. And then when you, and a lot of women are, you know, on this diet roller coaster. So if you regain weight after that, it's going to be mostly fat. Mm. So you end up actually in a worse position than you started out with. Your body composition is worse than, yeah, where you were before you even started dieting.
Wow. Mind blown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about the loss in muscle and all of that. So what role does strength training play in supporting bone health and preventing osteoporosis during and after menopause?
Yeah. So strength training, like if you, and this is, so strength training has a lot of benefits just in itself, that you go in and, well, it doesn't even have to be in a gym. It can be at home, but this kind of systematic strength training, where as you get stronger, use and challenge your body a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. What that does is you're basically signaling to your body that, hey, like that you're picking up a weight that's uncomfortably heavy, right? Like the last reps that you do, you're like, oh, you know, kind of barely able to lift it. You're signaling to your body that, hey, I need to be stronger so I can do this. Now, what that signal does is it tells it that, yeah, my muscle needs to be stronger, but then your muscle is attached to tendons, which are attached to your bones. So like that whole system is actually getting pressure on it to become stronger. And that's how, by strength training, you are actually signaling to your body that, hey, I need all of this stuff, you know, to be stronger so I can manage in everyday life. I mean, your body doesn't know that it's actually just a weight training session. It thinks that, hey, in life, Sherry needs to, you know, put some more bone mass on, and their tendons and ligaments need to be stronger, and muscles need to be stronger.
Okay. Okay. Love it. What are your thoughts on, you know, I had a recommendation that definitely I needed to start incorporating weights. And then one of the things that I was told by my doctor is, you know, cardio wasn't as important. Is that true? A myth?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I mean, both are important. You'll see a lot of these fitness influencers online who have kind of gone totally into the weight training and kind of left cardio. And in a way, if you just want to look better, I mean, probably the fastest formula would be to give up all your cardio and strength train and walk. Okay. And that would, and of course you have to watch where you're eating. You know, you, nothing is ever going to, you know, you cannot out exercise your fork, right? You got to control what you're eating.
I like that.
But yeah, but cardio is super important. Our heart health, it's two different things, your muscles and then your cardiovascular health. But I think one of the reasons it might be beneficial to push more focus on the weight training is that it really takes time and effort to build muscle. It is much faster to get into cardiovascularly good shape. I mean, muscle is not, you know, if you weight train for 12 weeks, yes, you're going to notice that you're a little bit stronger, but for you to like see that you're actually more, that you have more muscle on your body and start to notice something, it's going to take closer to a year. Whereas you can imagine if you started jogging around the block, it would not take many weeks before that's like a little bit easier and a little bit easier.
Definitely.
So,
okay. All right. Well, that brings me to my next question, which is something that a lot of us are, you know, kind of struggling with. So how do you start strength training if you've got little time and you've never lifted weights?
Yeah. So it's definitely possible. And honestly, I would encourage everybody to start now. Don't put it off, because every week, month that you put it off, you're just losing more of that precious muscle. And as you go into perimenopause and menopause, it's actually harder to build it. So like, we should be teaching our 30-year-olds, and I'm certainly teaching my daughter, you know, get in the gym. But you can start very easily at home with just some dumbbells. In fact, that's how I got started. I had some old dumbbells that were laying around. They'd probably been in my house for like 6, 7, 10 years. And I just dusted them off and got started with them. But you do need a program, because you want to hit all of your muscles. I mean, that was one of the reasons I started studying this. I was like, okay, so what exercise is going to get my back? And what is it, like my upper back and my lower back? And, you know, how about my arms, my shoulders? Like, how many different exercises do I need? And all this, and how should I combine them together? Because a lot of exercises train more than one muscle group and all that. So there is a little bit of a skill. you can learn how to program, but probably the easiest way to get started is to, you know, just get your hands on a beginner program and even training like 30, 45 minutes a couple times a week is enough to start seeing results. Okay. So that just reminded me of, I have I sell these beginner weight training programs, but I have one client who bought that, and for 10 weeks she trained twice a week at home with dumbbells, and that's all she did. And there were like visible changes in her body. The first thing that changed for her was actually that her visceral fat dropped. Like, you could, you know, she had pictures of her side view, and you could see that like she had gotten narrower. And that's super important, because visceral fat is not something that we want on our bodies. That's the dangerous kind of fat that we want to get rid of. And weight training gets that mobilized. So, But at home with some dumbbells is plenty to get started for sure.
Okay, perfect. All right, awesome. And how important is flexibility and balance training in menopause fitness, and how can those activities help reduce the risk of falls and injury?
Yeah, so these are really important to remember as well. So as we age, our balance gets worse. Mm-hmm. So that is something that you do need to start like paying attention to and training. But I would say especially balance is one that you can so easily incorporate into daily life. And I think this, if like your viewers, listeners have one thing that you can start doing today without any additional equipment, is start to train your balance by doing little things like, I mean, don't sit down when you get dressed in the morning. So, you know, when you're putting on your underwear, stand there and put your feet through it, or pants or socks or shoes. That will, you know, it'll feel hard at first and you might want to be close to something you can grab on.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Onto. But soon it'll be, you know, easy peasy, and just start doing things standing up. And then if you do go to the gym or exercise class or something and you're doing a little bit of a warm up, you can include some mobility exercises. I mean, for all of my clients who do weight training, the warm up is actually about a 2 to 3 minute routine, which includes mobility, which basically is you just oiling your joints. So you're like rolling your shoulders, moving your leg, your hip sockets, you know, you're oiling your joints. And when you're doing that, you can do it so that you're standing on one leg. So you can practice your balance there. So it's just that if you look at all the things that we should be doing, you know, to keep ourselves healthy, like the list is so long that if you try to have like a separate exercise session to do every single thing, nobody has time for that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I try to think of ways that you can incorporate these into your life in different ways than having to like officially exercise your balance. Yeah. You can do it like that.
Okay, that was really good. Another one, for women experiencing fatigue or low energy during menopause, what are some tips to stay motivated to work out and incorporate regular exercise into your routine? That's a big one.
Yeah, that is a really, really tough one. I think one of the hardest things in perimenopause is that your sleep, your quality of sleep goes down, and then you're just tired, right? Yeah. And so it's hard to do anything. And in fact, if I'm talking to somebody, I'm like, okay, if you want to revamp your fitness, the first thing you need to address is that you're sleeping well. Okay. Anybody who thinks that, oh no, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym, so I'm only going to get 4 hours of sleep and it's going to be bad sleep. Then, no, that would not be my priority. I'd first get the sleep fixed and then start doing the exercise on top of that. But if you have the sleep fixed, or you're feeling like, okay, I have that under control enough, you know, start with short sessions. Honestly, you know, 15, 20 minutes, just to get started. And a lot of times with the motivation, one of the problems is if you're looking at like this huge program and you think, oh my God, now I have to go do something for an hour, you know, that can be super daunting. And I mean, that happens to me too, even though I've been lifting for many years, you know, there are days that you're just like, I'm tired. But it's funny because some of those days you actually have the best time exercising. You've probably experienced that because you've been sporty in your life. And so I would say at least get started, like promise yourself, I'll do two exercises, you know, and then if you're like, oh my God, those were both awful, I really do need to just take today off, then you take today off. But most of the time, I think when you get yourself going, you will feel like, you know, better. you will keep going. And even if you can't finish the whole session, then at least you've done something. And that's for sure better than nothing. And the other thing I would say is that what helps with the energy is that I know there's a lot of pressure because you're feeling overweight, you know, you're feeling not so good about how you look. And a lot of women are eating very little and maybe not recognizing how much that drains you. When you're not giving your body enough calories, then your body doesn't have the energy to do stuff. Mm-hmm. So you might also want to look at how you're eating, you know, as far as how many calories on average on a day. Yeah.
Okay.
So there are a lot of parts to that. And the third thing I would say is that don't forget about HRT. I'm not hormone replacement therapy. I'm not a doctor, but I that has been a game changer for me because I had such awful perimenopause symptoms that like fixed, you know, brought my life back to me. Yeah. And I know that it's been the same for so many other women. So find a doctor who knows about that. Not all of them do. In fact, it may take a little hunting to find somebody who is actually up to speed on the latest, and then go consult with them and make the decision for yourself.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. And something that I'm looking into as well. So you are an advocate definitely for the HRT piece of it as well.
Absolutely. Everybody needs to make their own choice. But right now, with all the information out there on it, you know, nowadays it's there's even supporting evidence that even if you don't have a single symptom, that it is still good and will help you maintain bone density, maintain muscle. And if you're having like joint and, you know, bodily aches and pains, just kind of uncertain what the heck it is, you know, it can help. If you are, if I think about like all the things that were going on with me that I didn't realize actually were a result of the estrogen loss. I mean, I was losing so much hair that I went in to be fitted for a wig because I couldn't anymore like cover the bald patches, and then having urinary tract infections, libido lost. I had such brain fog that I started a new job, and I had to write everything down. I mean, I had a stack of notebooks with all the notes. I was actually out at dinner this past weekend with a couple of colleagues from that time, and I said, you guys remember? They're like, oh my God, yeah, you were writing like everything down. You know, it was wild. Plus like sleep, quality of sleep. So many women have told me that, oh my God, I started on the HRT and now I sleep. Or they get it adjusted and they sleep. But there are, you know, many formulations. And so sometimes the first one that you try may not be the one that suits you. I guess it's the same like, you know, with antidepressants. Some of them work better and worse. I had personal experience that like my own, the one that I tried first was great for me. And then there was like a worldwide shortage of it. So for 6 months, I had to try other ones. And it was wild to just see how different you feel on different, you know, combinations of estrogen and progesterone. So it does have a big effect on us. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And further going with what we talked about with the joint pain and different things, insomnia, how can menopausal women modify their fitness routines based on the intensity of symptoms like joint pain, insomnia, or anxiety?
Yeah. So I think, okay, so that actually brings up like a whole bunch of different things. So if I think, all right, I'm going to tackle the joint pain first, because a lot of us, I mean, our bodies aren't 20 anymore, right? We have aches and pains. We may have old injuries, and then they start to, you know, bug us at this point. I have an arthritic knee that blew up on me a little bit over a year ago, but that should not be a reason to not train. I mean, if you have something that's bothering you, then for sure, get it checked out, you know, by a specialist, just to make sure there's nothing acute, like you haven't torn something or whatever, something, you know, that really is where exercise would be counterindicated. But for my knee, for example, I went in and they did an MRI, and even though I could not bend it at the time, the orthopedic surgeon was like, get back in the weight room and do anything that your knee will allow you to do, because you need to keep up the muscles to support those joints. And I think that's the big point, is that when you have muscles, then you have support for those joints.
Yeah.
And so that is very important. And now I'm forgetting the other two parts of your question.
Oh, insomnia and anxiety with that. But I'm assuming the same, you know, if you get started and those things can be relieved by.
Yeah. I mean, I think with the insomnia piece and the, there I would say that I think about things like, you know, maybe when you're younger, like, okay, I'm just thinking of my gym. They have some really, really hard cardio classes that happen at 7 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing that at 7 o'clock at night, you're raising your cortisol levels like sky high. And then you're trying to get your body to calm down for bed. Mm-hmm. Maybe try exercising earlier if you're having problems with insomnia. And there are a lot of different ways that you can help with your sleep hygiene. I mean, I'm sure your listeners have heard of a lot of them before about not so many phones, having a cool room, dark room. And some people find that not eating right before bedtime, like the hour or two before, helps with their sleep. So there are a lot of things that you can try to see what works for you.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. And when we were talking about the working out piece, and we started with the dumbbells and all of that, is it better for women to try lightweights with like lots of reps to get toned, or?
Yeah, this is a great one, because I think, I think this is one of the biggest things that I got wrong. And I think so many women don't understand, because you think like, okay, yeah, I'm hearing this message. I need to work out. I should be using dumbbells. I need to do strength training. And so you go to like some group fitness class, you know, Body Pump or something like this. Yeah. And you think that, okay, that's taking care of it. And actually it's not. In fact, I was an avid Body Pump goer, and I was like the woman who is, you know, lifting the most weights of all the women there and pushing myself, you know, to my very, very limits, and going three times a week because that builds muscle, because two times a week is only maintaining, and all the things. And I lost my muscle, right? So, because that's actually for muscle endurance. Those high reps like that, and in a group fitness class where you can't really make sure that you're going to the point where your muscles are really challenged sufficiently, it doesn't do the same thing as systematic weight training.
Okay.
And I think that one myth that women have is that they think, okay, but if I do weight training like the guys do, I'm going to become bulky, right? And if I do low weights, high reps, like that Pilates instructor over there, then I'm going to look like that Pilates instructor over there. My arms are suddenly going to be 2 meters long and I'm going to be lean like a ballerina and everything. But I think, you know, two things that we need to understand is that the reason they're teaching that is probably because they already looked that way and they're flexible. And so that's like an exercise format that works for them really well. And then the other thing is that there's no like lean muscle and bulky muscle. There's just muscle. That's it. It's muscle. So and I would say, yes, I understand that there is a very small percentage of women, and I've met two of them in my life, who when they've started strength training, they do, like they get very large muscles very easily. There are some of these genetic unicorns who can like lift a pencil and then, ba-dum, their muscles grow. But probably you're not one of them. I mean, the people listening are probably not that person. So like I said, it's a very slow process building up that muscle. So take progress pictures as you go. And when you see that, hey, now I'm starting to look like I don't want to get any more muscular than this or whatever, then you start going into more maintenance mode and just maintaining the muscle that you have rather than building. But I haven't met very many women who have like started strength training who have like in midlife and been like, oh, I gotta stop now because my muscles are just getting so big. I mean, it's just harder. Our hormones are not helping us out here, even if you're on HRT.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been great. I want you to talk to us about your 10-week program and how it helps menopausal women achieve their fitness goals.
Okay. Yeah. So I offer a Learn to Lift program. It's actually two variants of it, one for home and one for the gym. And it basically teaches you everything that you need to know about strength training to build this muscle, get back the strength, and, you know, work better with your menopausal body. Because there's more than just going to the gym, you know, there's the protein piece and some other things. Mm-hmm. And I really, really want to lower the barrier for women. So I offer both of them in options of training 2, 3, or 4 days a week. And I'll say that my most popular is Learn to Lift at Home twice a week. So because I understand, you know, and I think it's way better to commit to something you know you can do, right? Than to, you know, try to go 4 days a week and then realize that, oh my God, how am I fitting this into my schedule? So, right. Yeah. So those are available.
Okay. All right. Well, Lynn, this has been so helpful. So many things that you've enlightened us about and that we can implement right now. I want to tell you, thank you. I don't think that we understand. And this has been an amazing conversation. Ladies, I hope that you are taking notes, whatever you need to do, and you will start implementing this. I know that I am. And so, Lynn, talk to us also about your podcast and where we can find you and all of those good things that you have going on.
Yeah. So I have a podcast called 40 Plus Fitness for Women, which I started, well, it's turning 2 next month in February. Right. So yeah, and it is focused on weight training tips, but then there's also some fat loss stuff and something on cardio. So it really is more information about the types of things that we talked about here today. And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Those are my main platforms. So I think probably the links can be in the show notes for this, or if you look for, Be Fit After 40. With Lynn is my name, username or whatever. And my website is also befitafter40. So that's 40.com.
All right. Awesome. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today about getting fit during menopause, ladies. It can be done. You just have to implement these tips we talked about today. And Lynn, again, we appreciate you taking the time. Are there any final things or takeaways you want to leave us with before we close?
Yeah, I guess the main thing is that Ladies, take care of your muscles. And really, I know the strength training can feel like, oh, it's so scary. But honestly, I've had so many women say, oh my God, when I had the instructions, you know, I'm like, what was I ever afraid of? You know, I get that so many times. So just push yourself a little out of your comfort zone and you'll be so glad you did.
All right, ladies, there you have it. Thank you again, Lynn. And y'all follow her on Instagram, Facebook, go to her website. It is in the ticker here. And I will also pin this in the comments so that you will have that. Those that are listening to me on the audio platforms, I will make sure I put that in the description. And ladies, as always, continue to take care of yourselves. Remember, this is the best time in life. We may have to navigate things a little different, but ladies, we can still get there. So thank you again, Lynn. And I wish you ladies an amazing day. Remember, be intentional and continue to grow and go. All right, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.